Intelligent Medicine is brought to you in part by Fullscript, my exclusive online supplement dispensary. Fullscript is the most trusted source for professional-grade supplements. It's safe, secure, and with Fullscript's refill reminders, it's totally effortless to stay on track with your supplement protocols. Go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to create your Fullscript patient account today. And if you're a healthcare provider, sign up for a free Fullscript dispensary account at fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. It's the easiest way for you to prescribe the exact supplement protocols your patients need. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I want to share with you something very innovative. It has to do with one of our sponsors, who I'm very, very happy to welcome to our highly curated stable of sponsors here on Intelligent Medicine. You know, a little prelude before we get into this. I really endeavor to select our sponsors for quality and credibility, and I'm a hard sell. And one of the reasons that I enjoy doing these podcasts, previously in my previous incarnation, I was doing AM radio. And in AM radio, there's a lot of pressure from the sales department. Oh, you know, please consider this. You know, can you get behind this? Can you get behind that? And I have to say that now I enjoy a tremendous measure of freedom in terms of selecting sponsors whose philosophy is in accordance with this program. And that will appeal to our listeners. And I can't think of a more likely candidate than today's discussion with the CEO and co-founder of something called Health IQ. He's Munjal Shah, and Munjal developed this company a few years ago, and it's really kind of a disruptive company in the sense that Uber is disruptive, in the sense that social media is disruptive, because it gets around the previous hidebound traditions of the insurance industry to reward people for good health behaviors instead of penalizing them for, you know, maybe they've got, you know, something, some skeleton in their closet in terms of health liability. So it's a very cool concept. We're entirely behind it. And we want to hear about it from Munjal. Munjal, it's a pleasure having you here on Intelligent Medicine.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, Ronald.
It's my pleasure. So, Munjal, you, give us a little background. How did you get into this?
You know, in a pretty backward way, I would say. I'm an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur, so I love building companies. And I sold my last one to Google in 2010. And it was a big data machine learning company, but the day after I sold it, I was running a 10K race, and I ended up with chest pains and ended up in the ER. And it was literally the very next day after what was supposed to be kind of a big, you know, personal milestone that I had worked on 60, 80 hours a week for 10 years.
And you were the tender age of what at that time?
I was 37.
Oh, goodness.
So my father had had his first heart attack in his mid-40s, so we definitely had some family history, but you know, this was still a little bit earlier, and it was certainly a wake-up call for me.
So you found yourself contemplating mortality, and, you know, to the average 37-year-old, a life insurance policy is not high on their priorities list, right?
Yes. In fact, I didn't even, you know, the transition from there to eventually creating a life insurance company was, again, somewhat accidental. I set out then to first rehabilitate myself. I lost 40 pounds, changed my diet. I was never what I call, you know, I always say there's this, you know, saying of get rich quick. There's also this get healthy quick scheme kind of person that's like, let me find a pill and let me do this. And, you know, I really just believed in kind of how do I do this naturally. And so, you know, fundamentally changed my entire diet. I used to eat Frosted Flakes and Pop-Tarts and cinnamon rolls since I was a kid, continued eating that into adulthood.
I'm thinking of an episode of Silicon Valley on HBO.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, you were in one of those incubators
and
sitting around in your pajama bottoms and a t-shirt and, you know, banging out code.
not quite that full caricature, but it's not totally inaccurate. And then ended up just coming to really an interesting conclusion, which was, you know, everybody out there wants to improve the world's health by harassing those who don't care about their health and telling them to get off the couch. And as I contemplated what I was going to do next with my life and what company I would build next, I realized, you know, I wanted to do something around health, but I didn't want to harass and cajole those who didn't care. I wanted a better approach. And that's where we realized, you know, what if we celebrate the people who do? What if we hold up the health conscious as kind of heroes in society? After a little more research, we realized that kind of over the last 20 years, actually America is kind of a tale of two cities. While most of the country has gotten less healthy, there's this kind of 40 million people mm-hmm. that have actually gotten more health yep. conscious and have taken better care of their health and have really taken responsibility. And we said, you know, they're heroes. But they're not always treated that way, and certainly the insurance pricing is not fair for them. And so I think we as a company just decided to focus on that. We actually thought initially we would do this for health insurance, but couldn't find a way to introduce that meritocracy into the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm.
Because actually the Affordable Care Act is sort of a leveling approach where, in an effort not to penalize people, they also don't have the capacity to reward people.
Yes. In fact, I believe that in trying to do one, they kind of swung too far on the other versus, you know, auto insurance is still pooled insurance, but it has a meritocracy to it. Like mm-hmm. if you have five DUIs, you pay a higher rate than somebody that has none.
And there's a good driver discount, of course.
There's a good driver discount on the other side, the more positive side. And so, you can't do that with health insurance, but you can with life insurance. And so there we said, all right, we're going to start with life insurance and we're going to give cheaper rates to health conscious people. And, to the extent we can do it for other insurances, which you can for dental, you can for vision, you can for disability, long-term care, we'll continue to expand and provide better and better rates for the health conscious. And so, but it was an exploration. We did not know we were creating this company. In fact, as I'll tell you in a little bit, we really thought we were just creating a health IQ test to find and celebrate the health conscious, and then realized that the data coming out of there was really the key to getting special rates.
Indeed. Well, before we get into that, your whole corporate culture reflects your health mission, because every member of the health IQ team you describe in something that is actually on your website is touched by a personal health challenge, whether it's their own or that of a family member. So you also are dedicated to create a company environment that fosters health practices that are beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, we figured, you know, you can't be a hypocrite. You can't say, I'm trying to create a company celebrating the health conscious, and then you know, you have candy bars and chocolate on every conference room table.
Right.
I always joke with my friends after, you know, Halloween, they take away all the candy from their kids. And I'm like, yeah, but it's Halloween every day at the office. It's ridiculous in the modern kind of, especially tech offices. And so, you know, we have, there's no sugar allowed in our company. There's no candy bars, no granola bars. You're allowed to have things at your desk. But, you know, all the common areas have to remain kind of a little more pure. There's no soda. And, you know, some people walk in and they're like, this is not right. You should let me drink whatever I want. And we say, well, maybe
you have investors come by, they say, well, bring me a Coke. And you say, sorry.
Right. Yeah. Well, we say, hey, did you not read the memo on why you're investing in this company? Because, you know, that's kind of the point here. But, it's something that we do. The whole team works out half an hour together, 4 days a week. So literally in the middle of the day, in the afternoon, we all stop and what we're doing and work out. You can choose not to if you don't want to, but it's a dedicated time when, you know, nobody will look at you funny. Like in a lot of companies, they might have a gym, but if you go to the gym at 2:30 in the afternoon, everybody's going to be like, what? Why are you at the gym? You should be working. And here, we all work out together, and it's a very different kind of corporate culture than most.
Okay, folks, this is the time where we offer one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. So here goes. As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, professional grade, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I use FullScript as my online dispensary, so I can send you, my patients and listeners, the exact products you need straight to your door by speedy delivery. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. The best part, FullScript sends out refill reminders when you're running low, so it's totally effortless to stay on track with your supplement protocols. Go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to create your FullScript account, or ask your healthcare provider to sign you up for FullScript. If you are a healthcare provider, sign up for a free FullScript account at fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. FullScript is the most trusted source for professional-grade supplements. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and they offer world-class support. Get started at drhoffman.com and click on the store. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to Munjal Shah of Health IQ. So your central premise, and actually this is this isn't necessarily a proven fact, it's a hypothesis. You started with this theory that really needed to be demonstrated in real life, which is that those with a high health IQ live longer and thus can save the insurance companies money. So how did you research and confirm that?
So I'll take it through the beginning. So we started out by saying, look, we want to find and celebrate health conscious people. We think this aspirational, celebratory kind of metaphor will be way more powerful in changing the world's health than harassing those who don't care. So problem one in that was, well, who's health conscious? And how do you find the health conscious? And we said, you know, is there a tool today that'll assess how health conscious somebody is? And we didn't find any. The only things we found were what we call self-assessments. You know, think of what your doctor gives you when you show up at your doctor's office. You know, how many times a week do you drink? How many times a week do you exercise? How many servings of vegetables do you eat? And in health, most people really aren't super truthful in their self-assessments.
I have noticed that.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And
we have those
I think
same
it's
questionnaires.
Really, yeah, I think it's really primal. Like, I think 4,000 years ago in the tribe, if you said you were unhealthy, you got fed to the lions. Like, we've learned to hide this. And there's other things in life where we do that. Like, the SAT doesn't ask you, hey, you're good at spatial reasoning, and you're like, yeah, I'm great. It's like, okay, here's 800 points. Like, nope. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't work that way. And so in the similar vein, we realized you could not do a self-assessment. You had to test people. So we wrote 30,000 questions using experts of various sorts. So we had the head orthopedic surgeon help us with sports injury questions from the U.S. Olympic team help us with sports injury questions. We had professors of nutrition help us write some of our nutrition questions. And we found a number of experts. We wrote 30,000 questions. We calibrated them on 500,000 people and said which of these correlate initially to people who said they went to the hospital less in the last year. And we picked hospitalizations because it's better than, you know, like, I don't remember how many times I went to the doctor or didn't go to the doctor, but I do remember if I went to the hospital because it's a pretty traumatic kind of thing. And then we found the 3,000 most correlated questions. And it turned out these questions were not what we thought they were going to be. They were not what kind of medical knowledge questions. Instead, like, you know, where's insulin made? Is it made in your pancreas? No, it wasn't questions like that. It was actually operational or kind of what we call implementation questions. It was like, hey, which of these four tortillas at Chipotle has the lowest carbs?
Right.
Or
practical knowledge.
Practical knowledge that you would know if you did, but you wouldn't probably not know if you didn't. So we don't say, hey, you know, how long is a marathon? Like, okay, kind of everybody knows that. But we're like, which part of a man's body bleeds when he runs a marathon he didn't think would bleed? And if you've ever run one, you know it's the chafing of your shirt on your nipples, and it actually, for a lot of men, if you don't put a Band-Aid on them before you run the race, you're going to end up in a lot of pain by, you know, mile 20. And so we found these very detailed knowledge questions were predictive. We asked them in a timed environment. You only have 30 seconds to answer them. You never get the same question twice. If you close the app and open the browser, it tells us you tried to cheat. It's not impossible to cheat. You know, you can cheat almost anything.
In other words, it's not an open book test. Some people may be trying to do it that way.
You could try to Google it on the side, but honestly, it's not enough time. You got to Google every single answer. And then what we did is we were able to then, so we got millions of people to take their health IQ. And then 2-3 years went by, actually, where the company was just six of us sitting there trying to figure out how to get cheaper insurance, but not knowing exactly how we would do it in health insurance. And in the meantime, it turns out some of the people had passed away, and we were able to track that using social media and a few other things. And we were able to build what's basically called a mortality table, actuarial table, or a risk table. And it basically showed that it's a very simple table. It says, you know, here's the people who scored 50 percentile and above versus 50th percentile and below. And what was the death rate amongst those who were above versus the death rate who, you know, those who were below over this 3-year period? And it turned out the difference was 41% less.
Hmm. Okay.
Which is a big difference.
Yeah.
And that's huge. And that became the basis that we went to insurance carriers and said, look, the health conscious, you know, we don't actually know exactly why they die less. You know, maybe it is because they're vegan. Maybe it's because all vegans clean their house with less toxic cleaners. Maybe it's because all vegans meditate. You know, it doesn't really matter in insurance pricing if they die less.
It's an association. It's not necessarily causative. In other words,
it's
vegetarians may be, you know, more conscientious about a lot of things in their lives. And people who exercise may be a little healthier to begin with. I mean, after all, you know, if you're sick unto death, you're not going to be a triathlete, you know, to begin with. So it is a marker for a better prognosis in terms of longevity, shall we say.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what we found. You know, in the end, if you really look at what we believe being health conscious really helped to identify is the people who took responsibility for their health. And even if the current thing they think is a, you know, good piece of health knowledge changes in the future, and we disprove that that was actually healthy for you, which does happen, right, off and on with a number of things in health.
Just like Woody Allen's movie, you know, where he wakes up in the 22nd century and it turns out that everything he believed, you know, when he was running a macrobiotic vegan health food store has turned on its end. And actually, we're experiencing that to some extent these days with the new fat acceptance and cholesterol acceptance and paleo diets.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, just as an aside, I recently wore a continuous glucose meter for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of saw what different things I ate did. And you know, one of the things I realized was there is no good bread. Doesn't matter if it's whole wheat or whole grain or dense German bread. It doesn't matter. There's no good bread.
It's a teachable moment there. Yeah.
Every single form of bread spiked my blood sugar. Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter what I put on the bread, didn't matter how I prepared the bread, didn't matter what else I ate the bread with. it's if you don't want to spike your blood sugar and lower your diabetes risk, you truly just have to not eat bread, which was a little upsetting to me, I will tell you. But mm-hmm. But that was kind of the learning. But yeah, so what we did is we found this data and realized that, you know, the health conscious really are correlated to be lower risk. We think it's that, you know, the knowledge helps them take care of themselves better over a 10-20 year period where life insurance is a 10-20 year policy. And we also found that it just seems to be the biggest delta comes in cancer risk.
Hmm,
and again, we don't have a causation, we just have a correlation. But
I might have guessed diabetes or cardiovascular risk, but it turns out cancer really is a lifestyle
Cancer is the part that the health conscious really helps us to, the health IQ test helps us to identify that the current blood tests, medical exams, physical exams are missing. So really in insurance, you know, what you have to find is not only why are these people lower risk, but why are they lower risk in a way that's invisible to the current process.
So you can measure cholesterol, you can measure blood pressure, you can do it six ways to Sunday, and you know.
Long-term cancer risk, what do you have? You have family history, it's only 15% correlated, doesn't work that well. Everybody thinks it works great because they've read all these things about breast cancer, which is kind of the exception that does not prove the rule. A little bit colorectal cancer. The second thing is, you know, genetic testing is up and coming, but is still early.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out if you're a persistent runner, you have a 45% lower risk of cancer.
Wow.
If you're a significant weightlifter, you actually have about 1/3 lower risk of cancer. If you're a vegetarian, you have a significant lower risk of colorectal cancer and most female cancers. And so, again, it might be correlated, not causated, but most of the health conscious just end up getting cancer less. Everybody thinks cancer is random. It happens kind of equally mm-hmm. to everybody. That's not true. The statistics don't show that, at least.
Well, I'm proud to say that before this interview, I checked into your website, which is healthiq.com, and I was guided to the Health IQ quiz. And I took the quiz. It was really quite entertaining. And I was relieved to find that I earned a health conscious badge, and my elite benefit was unlocked. In other words, I was eligible for a reduced premium because it says that I scored better than 307 million Americans, which hopefully is the case because I write Health IQ tests for our intelligent medicine listeners. They appear in our newsletter from time to time. So before I was even aware of your quiz, I was writing them. So I'm happy that I passed yours. Although a couple of your questions threw me for a loop, I still did pretty well. So that was reassuring.
Yeah, no, they're not all equally weighted. So the questions get harder and harder and harder. Kind of like that TV show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, kind of.
Right. Yeah, the question. I was going, yeah, this is obvious. And some others was like, huh? You know?
Yeah, they do. That's how we separate kind of the last few percentile.
Right.
But it's an important thing. You know, we all talk about literacy in the world. And while we've improved literacy, you know, the next frontier is health literacy. Like, you're not born knowing the user manual of the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. Like, you think you would be, but we're not. And there's lots of things conflating that in our modern society in the form of, you know, marketing telling us this is good for us or that's good for us, when in fact it's not. And so it's a your personal level of health knowledge is a very important skill to acquire. And it's not really just the knowledge of how it works. It's really the knowledge of how to implement it.
And unfortunately, it's not really taught in our schools. It really isn't. It really should. I mean, it would come under the rubric of, you know, something like home ec, you know, which guys don't take and women don't take anymore. But, you know, it's basic biology and nutrition that we should be teaching our very young kids at an early age.
Yeah. No, I mean, one of the reasons we focused on the Health IQ test was we said, if we're going to give people discounts and insurance, we want to give it on how much responsibility they've taken. We don't want to actually give it on their absolute level of health. Because your absolute level isn't all your fault.
Exactly.
Like, you might have been born with a congenital issue. You know, even though those of us who have changed our health know it's you're more in control than, you know, some deniers think. Mm-hmm. And you really can change your health. You're still not completely in control. And we have to recognize that. And so we said, look, let's not celebrate the healthy. Let's celebrate the health conscious, because that's the part of health we can all control. And as long as you have access to the internet, which pretty much most of the country does, you know, it's fair to say that you could have spent the time to try to become more health conscious, and you could have taken that responsibility on yourself. And the people who have deserve cheaper rates.
Indeed. And so I recommend very highly that you intelligent medicine listeners go to healthiq.com and take the test for fun. I mean, there's no obligation to sign up for insurance, although you will be prompted to investigate what your benefits might look like. But it's a fun test, and you can compete to see how high a health IQ you have. I want to pause now because we divide our podcast into two parts. We're with Munjal Shah, who's the CEO and co-founder of Health IQ, and I have more questions for him that we'll cover in part two of today's Intelligent Medicine podcast. So stay with us.